These kids, we should pray for the message, if nothing else, a selfish prayer that, Lord, don't let him bore me to tears. Michelle was talking about dogs and cats up here. You know, the difference between dogs and cats is the cat looks at you and he says, you feed me, you give me water, you change my litter box, I must be God. Whereas a dog looks at you and says, you feed me and give me water and you take me outside and everything, you must be God. And what I've noticed is that some people are cat-type people and some people are dog-type people. Just say it. Let's pray for the message. Lord, I ask that you talk to us today about our lives as kings and queens in this world, as you've given us things to rule over. And I ask that you bless it with your spirit so that it's not just human in nature, but that it actually has some of your spirit to quicken it for each of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Because of the men's retreat and everything, and I started a series on Wednesday night. We're looking at King Saul and his life and applying that to our daily lives in terms of what happened in his life. And I'm looking at several kings here because we are kings and queens according to the Bible. Truth is, we're all royalty in God's eyes as his children. Every single one of us from the beginning was created to have dominion. We have a domain that we rule on this earth. Genesis tells us this truth. We were given dominion on earth, and if we're given dominion, it means we rule. And if we rule by definition, then we are kings and queens. And besides the witness of the Old Testament, the New Testament tells us that through Jesus as Savior and Lord, that we are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. We are kings and queens with a priestly ministry. So you are royalty. If you name Jesus as your Savior and you're in that process of making him Lord of your life, you are royalty and you have a kingdom. Your kingdom is made up of things in which you exercise authority and influence over, in which you decide how things are ordered in it and what happens. Your kingdom can contain things like your field of vocation, your job, your family, your house, your stuff, your property, your business. It is your realm. Our kingdoms are in many ways just like the kings and the kingdoms that we see in the Bible, but we don't interpret them that way, but they are, in fact, very similar. We come up against the same kinds of things that these kings ran into. We are attacked by other kings. We pay tribute to other kings. We as a church pay tribute every month to the tune of about $7,400 to Soy Capital Kingdom. And if they don't, then they might come looking to take over our kingdom. It's true. We destroy our kingdoms as well. We put them in jeopardy because of our own self-will. Sometimes our foolishness or our sinfulness or our waywardness, and we can just go against God, and that will bring about judgment as well. Today, I want to look at a king in which God makes promises about his kingdom, and the promises that God makes to this king, he also makes to each of us in terms of our kingdoms, and no matter what the state of our present kingdom is, he makes promises to us. So today, let's look at a kingly promise that God makes to a king by the name of Jeroboam. Jeroboam was the first king of northern Israel. When the nation was torn apart because of Solomon and his not following God's ways. Now, we looked at Solomon last week, and when he began, he was humble in heart, and his prayer was one in which he was asking for wisdom. Well, he went sour over the years. It was the will of God to bring judgment down on his rule because he forsook the Lord God. He went after other gods. So let's begin by reading the beginning of Jeroboam's story, and then I'll give a little interpretation. We're going to walk through these verses that I have printed here, which contain the promises of God to this king, the conditions of that promise, So let's begin by reading verse 26 of chapter 11. Here we go. Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, an Ephraimite of Zeredah, a servant of Solomon, whose mother's name was Zeruah, a widow, also lifted up his hand against the king. Now, this verse actually just tells us that he was a guy and he worked for Solomon. He wasn't a king or of kingly descent as Solomon was. He was just a guy. Read with me verses 27 and 28. And this was the reason why he lifted up his hand against the king. Solomon built the Millo and closed up the breach of the city of David, his father. The man Jeroboam was very able, and when Solomon saw that the young man was industrious, he gave him charge over all the forced labor of the house of Joseph. Now, here we're told that Jeroboam, he was just a guy. He became a leader for the king, Solomon. He's just like somebody who shows his stuff, you might say, in a company or a person who climbs the corporate ladder. Jeroboam is good at what he does. So here we have a man who is doing good for another king. He's building influence and power with his life work. He was doing what a lot of us do, actually, kingdom expansion. You know, we're living the American dream, building our house, building our life. So was Jeroboam in this Bible story. Everything's different, but nothing's changed. And everything's changed, but nothing's different. Jeroboam is a young man working hard, doing his job, building his own life. And one day he's met by a prophet while doing his thing. And the word of God comes to him and it says, "You're a king. You're a ruler." Read with me verse 29 here. "And at that time, wherein Jeroboam went out of Jerusalem, the prophet Ahijah, a Shilonite, found him on the road. Now Ahijah had clad himself with a new garment, and two of them were alone in the open country." Now, here's what happened. Imagine, basically, you got to read this stuff like, it's kind of like our lives. These two guys, they run into each other, although the prophet knows what he's doing. And they run into each other, and they end up talking on the road. One of them, the prophet, has a mission from God. The other guy is just working on his own destiny and purpose. It would be like me meeting you someplace or sometime, maybe in your workplace or home or office, and I said, "I need to tell you something. The Lord has shown me that he's going to give you something to have responsibility over, and it will be yours to rule." So these two guys are standing in the middle of nowhere on a road, and this is what the prophet does, and he says, verse 30, read with me, verse 30. "Then Ahijah laid hold of the new garment that was on him and tore it into 12 pieces." Now, prophets are always doing weird things to make a point. And that's probably because if you think about it, God is always doing weird things to make a point in our lives. I don't know about you, but I've had him do some things in my life that's pretty weird. And he said to Jeroboam, he said, "Take for yourself 10 pieces, for thus says the Lord of Israel, behold, I'm about to tear the kingdom from the hand of Solomon and will give you 10 tribes." And that's what he's telling him about it. Read with me together verses 31 to 33. "And he said to Jeroboam, 'Take for yourself 10 pieces, for thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, behold, I am about to tear the kingdom from the hand of Solomon and will give you 10 tribes. But he shall have one tribe for the sake of my servant David, and for the sake of Jerusalem, the city which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel. Because he has forsaken me and worshipped Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, Chemosh, the god of Moab, and Milcom, the god of the Ammonites, and has not walked in my ways, doing what is right in my sight, and keeping my statutes and my ordinances as David his father did." Now, as you read this stuff, Jeroboam was going to become king of 10 tribes in northern Israel because Solomon, and we talked about him last week in terms of praying for wisdom and everything, Solomon, who is another king, was going after other gods. He didn't do what God had told him to do. He wasn't doing right in God's eyes, and he wasn't keeping the commandments. And he was not living God's order of the way things work. In other words, you may be king, but you are not above the law. Another kingly promise is alluded to here that was made to David. We talked about him a couple of weeks ago. He was another guy who wasn't born a king. David was not born a king. He became one. For the sake of the promise to David, Jeroboam only gets these 10 tribes in his kingdoms. Read with me together verses 34 to 36. Nevertheless, I will not take the whole kingdom out of his hand, but I will make him ruler all the days of his life for the sake of David, my servant, whom I chose, who kept my commandments and my statutes. But I will take the kingdom out of his son's hand and will give it to you, 10 tribes. Yet to his son I will give one tribe, that David, my servant, may always have a lamp before me in Jerusalem, the city where I've chosen to put my name. So Jeroboam's kingdom is restricted by another promise here. Now, you need to think about it. So is yours, so is mine. Our kingdoms are restricted because of God's promises to people around us. We rule over the kingdoms that God gives us and according to his order. Which brings me to the promise of God to kings and queens, you and me, and the conditions of that promise in this life. This is not true of our eternal salvation. It is the conditions of God's promises to us in the living of this life and the kingdoms that we have. Read with me verses 37 and 38. Here we go. And I will take you, and you shall reign over that your soul desires, and you shall be king over Israel. And if you will hearken to all that I command you, and will walk in my ways, and do what is right in my eyes, by keeping my statutes and my commandments, as David my servant did, I will be with you, and will build you a sure house, as I built for David. And I will give Israel to you. You know, the more I read the Bible, the more I see the truth. The Bible reveals that the Lord and his ways towards us as his people is filled with incredible love and promise, which is his intent for every one of us in this life. I believe that every one of us has a purpose in the sight of God, and he has a design upon our lives personally that God, he puts it there. It holds purpose and destiny, and it is who we are. There is purpose and destiny for you. There is a place where you rule and exercise authority and is yours to fulfill in terms of your life and your destiny. I believe this. You need to believe it too. It's true. Our problem is, though, that we want to rule according to our way. We don't want to submit to God with our lives. And then we end up manhandling the promises of God that are for us by surrendering ourselves to the world around us and then killing possibilities. And it's what we do. Here we have a man to whom God has revealed his promise for his life. God reveals his promise to each of us as well about our kingdoms in this world, our lives. The thing you desire, what you sense you are about, your purpose in life. Now, I'm not talking about gold Cadillacs in the garage, but things with substance, eternal significance, and durability in terms of our lives. These are promises that are written on our hearts, in the secret places of our lives. You know, I know this, God talks to each of us secretly. Sometimes we will reveal that to others, sometimes we won't. But there are things that a lot of times we are afraid to speak because people might laugh at us. Now, the irony of all is that many of us don't realize or we disregard the fact that God has put this on our hearts. And it can be fulfilled on His terms if we submit to Him. The catch is that it is only on His terms and by His power. So then what we do is we try to work it out for ourselves, and so people neither submit their kingdoms or their heart's desires or themselves to God. And the result then is we self-destruct kingdom possibilities in our lives. Kind of like Solomon, he brought on trouble on himself. We're not necessarily going to go to hell over this, but we can sure experience a lot of hell in this life. And we lose our kingdom possibilities, or at least parts of those kingdom possibilities. But God promises things to us. Now, I want you to look at verse 37 here. Jeroboam, the man, has no idea of kingdom possibilities until God puts it on his heart. He is a guy like you and me. He does his job well. He's advancing what he knows of his life. Suddenly, God puts something else on his heart. If you look at verse 37, he says, "I will take you, and you will reign over all that your heart desires, and you shall be king over Israel." He didn't know that beforehand. What is God saying here? Is God saying to this guy, "Hey, Jeroboam, you can have all the women, money, and fame you want. It's good to be the king." No, I don't think so. Because life is more than money, fame, and women falling all over you, or you ladies, men falling all over you. Life has to do with purpose and meaning and fulfillment. And for kings and queens, responsibility for the kingdoms that God gives them. Jeroboam was a good man. He was a responsible leader who served his king, Solomon, the guy he worked for. There probably were times when he thought, you know, I would like to serve these people more effectively, but I really would like the opportunity to do what I'm really capable of doing. And then one day this guy, a recognized religious leader, a prophet of the country, he comes up and he delivers a message from God to Jeroboam on the road. And he says, "Hey, Jeroboam, God says, you're the man, and here's the promise." The Jeroboam promise is the foundation of the promise God has for you beginning today, you personally. Now, you need to listen to this. For you, it's the same promise for the rest of your life. And for somebody here, I don't know where we all are in terms of our lives, but I know this. I could very easily be God's prophet for you on the road of your life today. The promise in this, which is just a paraphrased generic version of this 37, you can put your name in it. Here it is. "And I will take you, and you shall reign over all that your soul desires, and you shall be king over your life and all that you rule over." Now that's the promise. And that promise is to you, for you are king or queen based upon the fact that Jesus is your Savior and you want to make Him Lord of your life. Now, here are the conditions of that promise. Those are in verse 38. These are not conditions in terms of your salvation or going to heaven. These are conditions by which your kingdom and your kingship shall prosper and endure in this life. Verse 38 says, "And if you will hearken to all that I command you, and will walk in my ways, and do what is right in my eyes by keeping my statutes and my commandments, as David my servant did, I will be with you, and will build you a sure house, as I built for David, and I will give Israel to you." Now, if you look closely at this verse, You're going to notice three aspects of the condition of the promise and three parts of the fulfillment of the promise. The three parts that fulfill the promise are God's presence. He says, I will be with you. Isn't that a good thing? I will be with you. You will build your kingdom like a house and it will last. I will build for you an enduring house as I built for David. And thirdly, it is your kingdom on earth to rule. I will give Israel to you, is what he said to Jeroboam. God says, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to make it work and last, and I'm going to give it to you. That was God's promise to Jeroboam, and within that promise, there's a promise to every one of us as well in terms of our lives and where we walk, our kingdoms, our destiny, our purpose in this life. It was God saying to Jeroboam and you as well, I'm going to give you a vocation that is effective and fruitful. I'm going to give to you a family heritage, a house. It will be something that will last. Those are the aspects to the promise of God to a king. But if you read this stuff, there are also conditions to that kingdom. And there are conditions on our destiny in this life as well. Everybody likes the promise, but sometimes we don't follow the conditions. Three verbs are present here in this verse as part of that covenant agreement. These verbs are the same ones that God uses in terms of your life and mine as well. God says, if you will heed what I say, if you will walk in my ways, and if you will do what is right according to my order, my kingdom rules, then you will have your heart's desire and your kingdom. Now, he said this, by the way, we talked about it last week. He said this to Solomon as well, and he didn't do it. He says this to Jeroboam. He says this to you and to me as well. Three verbs, heed, walk, and keep. Heed, pay attention to my word. Listen when I talk. Listen up. It is God saying, here's my word and my will. Now, you listen up. Then do what I say. Don't just listen to it. Do it. Obey. Obedience is walking in God's ways. Day in and day out. And the third word here is keep. Keep God's commands. Not only hear it, not only obey the word personally, but have that word abide in your kingdom, your life, wherever you rule, wherever God gives you dominion, wherever you are the leader, you keep the commands, and those who are under you in your kingdom, you make them obey the rules as well. I remember when my brother and I don't know how many times my dad did it, but he'd get a little bit hot at us boys, and he says, you boys, as long as you got your feet under my table, you're going to do as God says to do, and we're going to be a house that follows the Lord. When you get out of here, you can do what you want with your life. But as long as you got your feet under my table, we're going to follow the Lord. That's what it means in terms of making that word abide in your kingdom. Basically, that means that not only do you keep the word yourself personally, but anybody who functions under you in your kingdom abides by the rules of the house. And in your house, the rules of the house are the rules of God. Keeping the commandments is whatever you rule. God rules there. Just as God is saying this to Jeroboam through this prophet, God is saying this promise to you today. There's one thing that is very heartening in this promise. It says, if you will do this as my servant David did it, I will build you a house like David. You know, David is another king, and we talked about him a couple of weeks ago. He was God's king. But you know what? He didn't start out as a king. He was a shepherd boy, We looked at him as his beginning times before he became king. His story is there when he began. And that always encourages me that this is a prophetic promise there's reference to God's promise to David, who was just a shepherd boy, and David's servant's heart as a king. It says in the Bible that David was a man after God's own heart. David kept the commandments in his heart. He attempted to rule the kingdom God gave him with a servant's heart that served God's order and God's rule. Now, if you read the story of David, I tell you what, he failed miserably at times. He encountered tragic failure in his own life, but it was his heart that brought him to full repentance. He came back, he repented of what he does, and he gets back into God's purpose for his life. He sinned and he failed in some parts of his life, but it was the heart that he had of obedience towards God that caused his house to endure. Last week we talked about Solomon. He started well, but he didn't end well. When the prophet says to Jeroboam, as my servant David, what he is saying to Jeroboam is that, I know you are not perfect, but if you keep my rules and you set your heart on my ways, then I will fulfill my purpose in your life, and that is a tremendous promise for any of us. That's the king's promise. You may fail at times. You may sin dreadfully because of your life, but if your heart is towards God, your life will endure. Your kingdom will. Now, Jeroboam was just another guy in King Solomon's court. He was doing his job. He was capable. He was diligent at it. He was young and industrious. He knew how to take responsibility, and he got things done. But it is God who makes him king. He has nothing. He has been doing the little things all his life for a long time. But when the word comes from this prophet that God has ordained him as king, he doesn't get arrogant, he doesn't get pushy, but I expect when that prophet tears up his garment and gives him 10 pieces out of the 12, and he says, you're the king, it spoke to him. We know that it spoke to Solomon when God spoke to him. When God anoints you as a king, and this has to do with stuff in our life, sometimes it takes a while. It also causes other kings to come against you at times, but if the Lord has ordained things for your life, you don't have to engineer it. You don't have to work it out. God will take care of it. Solomon hears about this, and his kingdom is falling apart because of his own life. His own heart has turned away from God. By the way, Solomon has the same promises and conditions that Jeroboam does. Anyway, Solomon is afraid. He tries to have Jeroboam killed. Jeroboam has to hide for a while. But if God has ordained something, sooner or later, it's going to come to fruition. Solomon dies. If you read the story, and exactly what God has promised happens in Jeroboam's life. He becomes king over the 10 northern tribes. Jeroboam didn't do anything to make it happen. God fulfilled his promise. Now we need to let something sink into our hearts here. If God promises something in terms of kingdom living for our lives, he will deliver on his promises. God who promises about his purpose, he fulfills by his power. That's how it happened with Jeroboam. That's how it happens with us as well. I know this, that the truth is God has put a purpose and a destiny in all of our lives. And the beauty of that is released according to his word and his timing. He said to Jeroboam, he says it to you and me, if you will walk, heed, and keep my ways, I will give you your heart's desire, and you shall have dominion over your life and all that I give you. And what God has intended for you and me when we come under his shaping influence and submitting to his way is his purpose. And he's the one who takes care of the business of our lives. We just do our part. You're all kings and queens, and I know that. And God has a promise for each of you, as well as me. And there are conditions to that promise. And we can take heart from these guys in the Old Testament. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you would show us not only your promise for each of us, but you would show us what it means to walk as your kings and queens in this world and how that works. So we bring ourselves to you this day in Jesus' name. Amen.